talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And we're back here at Getaway Friday, January the 19th, 2024, 16 minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Pastor Craig is out this week, but he will be back next week. Next hour, we're going to have a special episode of Pastor Craig's show, Study His Word, from November the 3rd, so tune in to that. Hey, that rhymed. And the interview with Miranda McGinnis is online now. Thanks, Adam, for doing that. So go online to the WWGH webpage, WWGH1071.com, and go to my section. The two-part with Miranda McGinnis is there, or go to the Facebook page. It's there as well. What did you think about that interview? Give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 44. What do you think about the state of the city and where we are? Bill Collins has apologized to Miranda, and here we are. What do you think, Matt?
I think the city's certainly in an interesting spot. It's got some learning curves to deal with. We've got basically a whole new city council, got a new mayor. I mean, the auditor's office is still behind. It's been rough in the auditor's office for a minute now. So,
and I guess it all hits the fan on Monday, 6:30 at the city council meeting.
I guess so.
We'll see how that all shakes out. Now, we also want to mention our big groundhog event is coming up 2 weeks from today,
February the 2nd. There's going to be a Groundhog Day ceremony. Still not 100% sure where yet, but So
all of us will be here.
Basically the entire radio station staff, I do believe.
I think so.
We'll have Chad Clark there. He'll be singing some live music. There might be some food. There's going to be Marianne Lethal's going to sign it in. I'm getting ahead of myself there. So the groundhog. There's going to not be a real groundhog. It'll be somebody in a groundhog suit. We do not know who the groundhog is going to be. Nobody does. So. We want you guys to guess on who the groundhog is going to be. And you can guess two ways. You can call 740-383-9944, or you can get on Facebook and leave a guess on one of the Facebook posts.
There you go. And who is the ground? You don't know.
Yeah, nope.
Who's your guess? We've had Mary Ellen Withrow guest. We've had Scott Schertzer guest. We've had Weasel Boy guest. We've had you guest. We've had Carrington guest.
I don't know.
Jack Kellogg's been guest.
What if it's? I mean, it could be Jack Kellogg.
Don't know. We'll find out. Jack Kellogg's your guest.
Sure, for now.
For now. All right, and the clues will come along as the days go around. Who do you think the groundhog is, or what do you think of what's going on in the city? Give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Talking earlier, what do you make of putting castor oil in your belly button to cure all your ills and taking a cold shower and doing all this whoop-de-doo?
You know, I think that if you want to be a healthier person, you should just try to, like, I don't know, eat healthier and, like, work out or something. I wouldn't suggest all the home remedies that you'll find on the internet.
It seems a little voodoo-ish to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're sick, I especially wouldn't suggest trying home remedies because, like, I mean, you're already sick. Do you really want to just risk making it worse for the sake of trying a home remedy?
But I think your mental health is something you should not be playing around with.
I mean, probably not. But, you know, at the end of the day, nobody wants to take medicine.
Listen, you may not want to take medicine, but you may need it. But see, here's what I don't understand. If you were diabetic, would you not take the insulin?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, you probably should.
I would assume you should. That's why they gave it to you.
Yeah, but when it comes to mental, no.
Well, I mean...
Like, that's a choice. I'll just take the cold showers instead of that.
Well, I mean... See, the thing about being as you referred to it as crazy is crazy people tend to not realize that they're
crazy.
They
don't realize they're crazy. That's right. That's
so
the problem.
Like, you have to convince somebody to go to the doctors to see that they're crazy. And
but some people know they're crazy.
I mean, I'm sure they do, but...
But they just think that other people are going to fill the void or
I've heard,
don't want to gain weight or something.
I mean, I've heard the argument
of... What a dopey thing to say.
I couldn't tell you which prescription it was, but I've heard the argument of that anxiety or depression, I don't know which one, but the one of the medications they give you for, mental-related illnesses is it makes you feel like a zombie.
Well, tell the doctor that.
I'm not the one who, that's one of the things, is that the medications make you feel bad.
Okay. No. I don't know. Here's something we'll have a top 10 list this hour, by the way.
Top 10 list?
Yeah, why wouldn't we have a top 10 list?
I don't know. I feel like we haven't had one in a while for some reason, even though we have one every week.
Every week? No, we give two every week, by the way. Tell people about tonight.
So tonight, at, 8:15 to 10, there's going to be, the Friday Night Live show. It's going to be me, Scott, Carrington, and Sean, and, that's always great. You wouldn't want to miss that.
There's always a lot of energy in here for that show.
I mean, it's the first one we started together.
Yeah, they've all had energy.
Yeah.
Which is, it's very interesting.
I think so.
Now, a few weeks ago, here's the topic I want to start off with today. A few weeks ago, we had James Anderson on. I had James Anderson on my morning program, and he was in radiation treatments for his thyroid cancer. And we talked to him, and one of the subjects we talked about, which was kind of fascinating, was how his wife has played a big part in him going through this. And he says, if without his wife, this would have been very, very difficult. Because she gets him T-shirts and makes sure he takes his medicine and kind of calms him down when he's hysterical about things. But we talked about how a lot of times when people get sick, the significant other leaves. And I got a note from James that said he'd been thinking more about that since the interview we did. And some things he's been reading are that a lot of people do that. That when somebody gets sick, they feel it's impeding their life, so they leave the person because they are ill, and cancer is a big one.
I mean, do people not pay attention to, or just do vows not mean anything to people anymore? Like,
well, is it just vows, though?
I mean, like, when you get married to somebody, it's like, till death do us part through,
No, they don't pay attention to that. No. If that's true, people have died 5 and 6 times because they have been married and gone 5 or 6, and they'll do it again. They have no problem doing it again. Take me to the courthouse. Get me to the courthouse on time.
It just seems a little bit...
Because this is the one.
It just seems a little bit absurd to me that you were going to marry somebody, take the vows of, through, sickness and health and all those good things, and then all of a sudden somebody's sick and you're like, well, I don't know if this is the best thing for me anymore.
But it's true. And forget just marriage. I mean, this happens in long-term relationships. Anytime where there's things are going fine, and then an illness comes in, you will see them end. During the illness, which is really, in my opinion, very bad taste.
I mean, I think so. I mean, it happens. I don't know. It shouldn't happen, like I said, but, I don't know what to do about it.
Some people begin to resent the sick person. Now, it's interesting because in their mind, I really don't think that they think that that's what's going on. I think they think they're just getting tired of the sick person, that it has nothing to do with their illness. Because if they really believed that it was because of their illness, they would know what a heel they were in life. So I really don't think people equate it that way. But if you look at it, and it happens during that time period, you gotta wonder.
How often do you think that when people get breakup, get divorced, that kind of thing, during a sickness, it's because of the sickness.
You'd have to tell, it'd be hard to figure out because nobody would ever admit to that because it sounds so horrible that you're doing that, that nobody would admit to it, but I think it happens a lot because I think there's so much pressure. Can you imagine being around somebody who, you know, let's say you're out every weekend, they're your closest person to you in life, you're having fun with them, you can, I mean, and I hate to say, you know, I think in certainly the case of cancer that, how do you put this? Intimacy matters because that probably comes to a halt for a little bit and it's not the same.
Well, I mean, I don't think you should ever expect it to not change. I think that if you expect
it
to not change,
that's a little
ignorant. No, but
I think if all that, it changes rather rapidly.
Ignorant.
Yeah, but it changes rather rapidly.
I mean, yeah, that happens sometimes. Life has a habit of doing things like that.
Yeah, but is that the time to bail out?
I mean, I don't think so, no.
What do you think of people who do that?
I mean, I guess in terms of, like, if you're dating the person, it's still not right and still wrong, like, you know, messed up, but, like, you haven't necessarily taken any vows, but, like, once you get married, you are, like, you've done taking vows for, like, and
vows don't mean anything.
I know, it's unfortunate, but, like, I just, could you imagine?
Yes.
It's mind-boggling.
See, I don't really understand the big difference anymore between a marriage and a long-term relationship. I really don't get the big difference.
Well, how long-term is long-term?
Well, at least a year.
I don't know that a year is considered long-term.
What do you want, 2 years?
I mean...
If you are exclusively seeing that person for 2 years and nobody else, I consider that long-term.
I don't know. I'm not the expert, I guess, so I don't know.
Well, I guess the point is, I don't care if it's 6 months. If 6 months everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden somebody gets hit with a horrible illness, and during that time is when it ends, I think that's suspect, as they would say. But it has nothing to do with that. That's just one of those incidentals.
I don't know. I don't think that you should do it. I think that you should probably. I don't think you should make any decisions when emotions are running high, because you tend to make bad decisions.
Yes, I think you become a very. I don't think you can consider yourself a good person if you do that.
I mean, they're always going to attempt to rationalize
of course
themselves because
yes.
you can't just do that.
Well, you can't say that's the reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if somebody's already got a mental tick, that probably is not going to help.
I mean, I would say probably not. I don't think that. I don't think that would be very good.
Well, you know what I think a lot of this is truthfully, as James Anderson says, you can't, if somebody hasn't gone through it, you can't explain to them what it's like. You can't make them understand what it's like
to
go through an illness.
Okay.
If you've never been through it, you can't explain it to somebody. You can try, but you really can't.
I mean, I don't think. I'd agree with that. I mean, I don't think that there's a. I mean, I think there's a lot of situations in life you could try to explain to somebody, but I don't think they would truly understand unless it happened to them.
Right, but I think James's point of view here was that you can't explain to that other person why you're acting the way you're acting all of a sudden. That heretofore might be a different way. It's different.
I mean, that's fair, I guess. I didn't know you necessarily had to explain it. I think it's kind of like self-explanatory, I would think.
You would think. But no, it is really not.
I just don't get it, but it just seems, like I said, it just seems self-explanatory.
Okay, let's say you got into a relationship tomorrow. And let's say it goes on a month. And then that person all of a sudden, unexpectedly, goes to the doctor and gets let's not even say cancer. Let's say they have a stroke. That's unexpected. They have a stroke, paralyzed on one half of their body. And that's the point where you say, well, you know, gotta go. This isn't working out right. Now, do you think it's not because of the illness?
I mean, if everything was going, you know, just like hunky-dory before, then I would say that probably a decent portion of it is because of, I mean, at the end of the day, I had to put you over the edge of wanting to not wanting to date that person. So it was significant enough,
right? And so in your mind, I think you've really missed the boat, is what has happened. Because hopefully they recover, and by that point, you're screwed. Some people are some people are vindictive. They'll go after you. When they start to feel better,
I mean, I think
if you do that to them.
I mean, honestly, I think that's a little bit. I mean, I feel like that's reasonable. I mean, as bad as that sounds on my part, I feel like that's reasonable. It's a terrible thing. I don't understand how you want to just ditch somebody because they got sick. I feel like you almost deserve some kind of
repercussion.
So you think
that's one of those rare occasions in life where repercussion is necessary.
I think so, yeah. That's messed up.
So you feel that at that point, being treated badly by that person is not out of the question?
I mean, I would assume that if I was in a relationship with somebody and then they got sick and then all of a sudden I was like, you know what, I don't think I want to be in this anymore. And then I left them and they started, you know, saying and doing horrible things to me. I think I'd be like, well, you know, fair enough.
There you go. That's But what if they are so surprised about that? Oh, I can never imagine you would do that.
I mean, I don't know. I think anytime anybody gets in a relationship and they're like, I don't know how this could ever end, I'd be like, hey, you remember how you said that about your last one?
Think about the last 10.
Just relationships aren't built to last. They just don't.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
That's all there is. But now put yourself in the other shoe. Put yourself as the person getting sick in the relationship and somebody hikes out on you.
I mean, like I said, I'd probably tell myself the same thing, relationships usually don't work, they're not built to last kind of thing. But, like, you know, I think deep down I'd probably always have at least some inkling that even if it wasn't all because I got sick, it was at least a portion.
So do you, I guess what I'm driving at here is that just a completely different circumstance? Relationships end, we don't like each other, we argue too much, we fight about the bills, we don't get along, we don't like the same things. Okay, we can part amicably. But if you do it when there's an illness going on, there might be some resentment there that you would get that you wouldn't get in another situation.
I think so, yeah. I think that's reasonable.
I think so, too. And I think people who believe that that wouldn't happen are really should probably go study more. And I don't think you should ever call out the person who is doing it, because I think they're justified in some way.
Who's doing what?
The person who's ill. I mean, if you do that to them, I think, as you said, you have to expect some repercussion.
Oh, yeah. That's reasonable.
Not necessarily important to do.
Even if you rationalize it to yourself as, you know, I just didn't like him because of X or Y or, you know,
well, of course
any of those
do
things.
That.
But, like, I think you'd have to understand it. You'd have to at least understand that from their perspective, everything was going fine. They got sick. And then you're like, you know what? No, I'm good. And then, so, like, you have to at least understand that it looks that way to them. Even if in your head you've been rationalized it as that's not what it is.
Oh, I don't think you ever rationalize that that's what it is. Like I said, again, if you rationalized it that way, you'd
feel
like...
Oh, no, rationalize it as that, and that's not what it is.
Right, I think that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you could be right in front of their face saying that played a part in it, and they would deny it to the end, because to admit that would make you sound as bad as it sounds.
I mean, I don't know, it just... What changed between the time of you deciding that you were going to... What changed between the time of me getting sick and you leaving me, between the time before I got sick and we were all, you know, hunky-dory?
Oh, they'll come up with something. I told you it's rationalization. They rationalized in their mind. Something did.
They've been rationalizing, I guess.
Yeah. Well, probably they're having less fun because you're not doing much.
I mean, I just don't understand how that's a reasonable thing in a relationship. Just like, I don't understand why people who are in a relationship feel the need to be, like, attached at the hip all the time. Like, you guys are still different people who live different lives and do different things. Like, and you have friends that she might not be friends with and vice versa. Just go do your own thing sometimes.
All I know is I've seen people do some horrible things to people in return for doing something like that. And it's that one time in life where I almost say, well, you deserve it. I mean, you shouldn't have done that. That was a bad, bad move.
Karma happens.
Yeah, and I'm not that I'm saying it's okay to treat somebody badly. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I can certainly say, well, you know, sorry.
I would say in the majority of circumstances where somebody treats you poorly, it's better in your case to just let it go and, you know, live, you learn kind of thing. But in a situation like this, I feel like it's reasonable to get some backlash.
Well, also, if you know the person is goofy to begin with, I mean, and clearly does not make good choices.
I mean, I think if somebody didn't make good choices, I'd hope that you don't choose to
but
be with that person.
I do believe at some point in life, you've got to end the penalty box. You've got to write a letter and apologize. You've got to do something. You've got to go see that person. You've got to call them, and it's hard to do that because they probably don't like you very much at that point. But you've got to take responsibility. You've got to be a human being. I about said you got to be a man, but there are women who do this. You've got to get some guts, and you got to say, listen, I don't think I did that intentionally, but it looks very, very bad, and I can see how you would take it that way, and I was wrong.
I mean, I think that's fair. I think that, like I said before, even, like, you're never going to admit that that's what it was, nor that it... sorry. You're never going to admit that's what it was, nor are you going to admit that it even played a part in it. But you'd have to at least admit that it looks like that on their behalf.
Right, and you have to at some point say, I understand why you don't like me. I understand why you've done what you've done. I understand why... maybe we can reconcile to the point of we can stand, you know, where you're not coming at me.
Yeah, you know, like, I get it, and I'm sorry, but, you know, hopefully we can, you know, make amends.
Yeah, I don't think staying angry at somebody forever is very good. I just think at some point you gotta forgive and whatever.
I mean, to stay angry at somebody forever, you have to actively leave the thing that happened on your mind and keep it there, and, you know, I don't know, it just seems like a waste of time and energy. To hold grudges.
You know what is strange, though? A grudge is an interesting thing. People act like what you just said, like it's on your mind all the time. But it's really not. Like, I can't say that I hold grudges against people. Now, some people might think I do. But truthfully, it's only in the moment. Like, where I know, like if I'm doing something. Most of the time, it comes up in conversation. Somebody will say something about somebody or they'll mention something, and that's when it comes out because it was brought up. But it's not like I'm sitting at home thinking, well, you know, got to get that person. So I don't even know if those are grudges.
What do you mean? You don't even know if those are grudges?
I don't think those are grudges. It's not like you're carrying it around all the time. I think it's just it comes up momentarily. Like, for example, and this is not obviously a relationship, but for example, we were talking earlier about people who have not been on this show telling their story. Now, I believe, and again, this is only my belief, is they feel, as you said, that I am going to, that I have painted them in a bad light, that I have made them look bad, so they're holding a grudge against me. I don't know if that's... They're certainly not sitting at home at night going, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. I think they're just, when it's brought up to them, why don't you go on that show? Why don't you do that? Well, because I think I've been treated poorly there. I don't think they go around with a noose around their neck all the time thinking about it.
Well, it has to be... Well, he's relevant to some point for you to remember it, because otherwise you wouldn't remember it.
Well, I remember everything that's went on. Whether you hold a grudge about it or not, I remember. I'll tell you a funny story yesterday. Somebody came up to me and asked about somebody who used to be on the show. Now, this is how they put it. They couldn't remember the name. But they said, it begins with, and they told me the letter. Now, I'm not going to say it because, honestly, I still don't know who it was because there are more than one person with that letter who have been here in the past. So I don't know who they were talking about, so I didn't even answer it because I wasn't sure who they were talking about. But, you know, are there any grudges there? No. But was it the best parting of terms? One was probably not. One person I still talk to, the other person I don't.
Well, I mean, I think the other person's probably the one holding a grudge.
Well, that's what I would think. Because I think when you don't talk to somebody, there's something on their behalf. Guilt.
Guilt.
But, you know, whatever. It's not transferable.
No, they could try.
Isn't it interesting, though, how that... I mean, I really didn't know who they were talking about. Because all they said was, a person who used to be on your show that begins with this letter. And there were at least two that came to my mind, and I did not want to answer either way. Because I certainly didn't want to give... I didn't want to misquote. And this person could not remember the name.
I don't know. I mean... Like, I couldn't even, I don't know, I couldn't give you an example, because like I said, I just feel like if it was important and it was relevant, it would be there. But if it's not, then there's no point to hold on to it.
I don't know why people ask you about things that happened in the past. I always find that interesting. Well, what happened to that person? They're not here. That's all we need to know.
I mean, I don't know. I think they're just curious. I mean, they want to know.
Which is the problem with broadcasting, in a way. Because it's not just between you and them anymore. It's between you and the audience.
I mean, I'd even say it's that way at other places.
Less big. I mean, if you're just in a workplace and it happens, unless it's somebody you are working there with as well... It really, and it doesn't go outside that workplace. With this, it goes a lot of places.
I mean, I guess.
Like, I'll give you an example. Like, let's say you were, I don't know what the situation would be. You were friends with somebody, and the friendship ended badly. And somebody said, well, why did the friendship end? And you knocked them. You said, well, they just turned into a jerk. They weren't what I thought I, whatever. That would end with that person, most likely. That would be the end of it. If that happens here, somebody calls in and says, well, what happened to that person? And I say, well, they're a jerk. They're, you know, really not necessary. Well, now I've said something nasty about that person. And there's a chance it could get back to them, and now it becomes a thing.
I mean, that's
because it's like you're having a conversation and 50 people... are eavesdropping in on that conversation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why you don't... I mean, you just don't answer it. I don't know. You gotta answer somehow.
You know, we're getting some interesting feedback here. I don't know if I should read this. I'm always leery to read somebody's post here. Okay, hypothetical. Your longtime partner is diagnosed with a degenerative brain condition. The doctor says that within a year, he or she will be a vegetable and require constant care. Do you A, stay with him or her until the condition necessitates transfer to a nursing home, B, stay with him or her and provide the nursing care yourself so he or she can avoid having to be institutionalized, or C, break up and live your life? There's your choices.
I mean, that's certainly a hypothetical there.
Well, go ahead. A, B, or C?
You know, I think I'm going to have to go with B.
So you're going to stick it out?
Which one was A, which one was B?
B was stay with him or her and provide the nursing care yourself so he or she can avoid being institutionalized.
No, A. A. I pick A.
So you'd leave them once they go to the nursing home?
I wouldn't say I'd leave them once they go to the nursing home, but, like, I'm not going to the nursing home.
And visit?
I mean, I'll go visit them. But, like, I'm not moving into the nursing home with them.
Well, no, you don't have to move in with
them.
Okay, but do you end the relationship? You start seeing somebody else while they're in the nursing home?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not really going to relationship thing anyways, so probably not.
It's a hypothetical.
All right, well, I'm going to say... Okay, so in this case, I'd probably say, yeah. I don't know how often I would stop at the nursing home, but I'd stop at the nursing home, but I don't think I would, talk to anybody else at that point.
Because?
I don't know. Is there some kind of moral conflict there?
The person has no morals when they do something. So you're saying a person who leaves when somebody's ill has no morals?
I mean, I wouldn't say they have no morals.
Not much.
I mean, their moral compass isn't the same as mine. That's for certain.
Maybe they should go to church more often.
Is that what it is?
I think that could help. It could only help. Let's do the top 10 list here because we have not done that. Let's see what we got here. Oh, there's the drum roll. You got to love a drum roll.
Absolutely.
Top 10 people who could be hiding in the WGH groundhog suit from the home office in Columbus, Ohio. This coming up in 2 weeks here. The WGH groundhog will be unveiled on Friday, February 2nd between 8:15 and 11 a.m. that morning. Top 10 people who could be hiding in the WGH groundhog suit. Number 10, Graham Kerr. He's been on. Number 9, Representative Jim Jordan.
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be good? See him pop out of there? Number 8, the Worcester Vampire. Whoa, she'd have fangs in that suit. There'd be holes in that suit where there weren't holes before. Number 7, Mayor Jack Kellogg. That's your guess.
That was, in fact, mine, yes.
He's number 7 on the list. Number 6, Weasel Boy. He's been guessed.
Weasel Boy.
Weasel Boy, groundhogs, animals. Number 5, Bud Rosenthorne. He does get around. Bud Rosenthorne. Finally revealing himself. Number 4, Ronald McDonald. Oh, what a treat that would be.
That'd be nice.
Number 3, Adam Lepp.
Adam the computer guy.
Adam the computer guy. You never know. He could be in there. You never know. Number 2, Bigfoot. Bigfoot in the groundhog suit.
I'm cool with that. Bigfoot in the groundhog suit.
Why not?
He's got to catch one.
And the number 1 person who could be hiding in the WGH groundhog suit, Jim Gunnall.
I don't know who Jim Gunnall is.
Weatherman. Longtime weatherman in Columbus, Ohio. That's kind of the same as Bigfoot, though, isn't it? See, people will get that at home. I hope they'll get that at home. Top 10 list for today. I thought that was pretty good.
I think so. It was good.
Good list. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Does anybody have anything to say? We've got about 10 minutes left here if you want to get in on the conversation. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 10 minutes left in the program. Matt and I here today. Pastor Craig off. He'll be back next week. Study His Word, a special episode from November 3rd, airing next hour from 1:15 until 2. And then tonight we'll be back here. Matt Morgan. I was like a football coach there for a second. Talking about your last name. Matt Morgan, Carrington Nelson, and Sean Kraft. 8:15 till 10 tonight. And you won't want to miss that. We had great phone calls last week and great conversation, and I expect to have more of that tonight.
I think the Friday night show is probably one of my favorite of the shows we do.
Now, why do you think the Friday night show is such a hit?
Well, I think it's at a good time slot on Friday night. I think at that time, everybody's probably, either at home or where they're going to be for a while. Kids aren't getting ready to go to bed, probably, because they have, school. When I was in school, I'd stay at my friend's house, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing, because their parents didn't work on the weekends, things like that. Friday's just a good day.
If you're not listening to the Friday night show, you're clearly out of the loop.
I think so.
8:15 to 10 on Friday night. And I believe it really is the chemistry of that group.
Well, I think if we didn't have any chemistry, there wouldn't be any good show.
No, and I think it works very, very well.
I mean, I think so.
People can listen to some of the shows from the past when other people have been on there. I think it's got a lot more pizzazz to it now. How would you characterize if somebody had never heard it and wanted what happens there? I mean, okay, the three of you, four of you are there. What goes on? What's that show about?
Usually I tell them we talk about like pop culture or socially based topics, and we just have fun, make jokes, that kind of thing. Also, when the first time I ever did a taping on or a taping with you, I was asked about talk radio, and I don't remember the thing I gave, but you were like, what would you say to people in your generation now about talk radio? And talk radio it's got to be addicting, you know? Like, I never listened to talk radio before until I started here, and then I listened to it. But then, like, you know, gradually you just start listening to it more and more and more. Yeah.
I heard that this morning, too, from somebody else.
She's not wrong.
Well, my show will grow on people.
Well, you know, that's good. Well, that's what we're hoping for.
Well, you know, it's a lot of things. You know, it's personality driven. But no, Friday nights are fun, and I enjoy them, and I think everybody here enjoys them. And, you know, there is always some conflict, but it's an organic conflict. It's never planned.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
But it's also never personal. I mean, nobody ever takes those things personally. At least I've never known them to.
Not that I can think of.
Well, that's good.
I think anytime you can bully each other with it, and all in good fun, it's a good time.
Well, I think people get that it's a conversation. You know, there are conversations you can have on talk radio, much like we've done this afternoon, that you could not have in a normal like just sitting around at somebody's house or in a restaurant. You wouldn't have those conversations.
I mean, you might. You could, maybe.
But I don't think you would. But because it's the point here, people go along with it.
I mean, it's not likely you would, but like, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the whole point of this, you know, so.
So people will go right along.
Yep.
And that's fun, because you learn people's opinions on things, and you learn people's feelings on things. Why somebody hasn't had a pizza delivered to us on Friday night? Well, you don't like pizza.
Yep.
You're the odd man out.
Oh, that's fine.
Wouldn't that be nice?
To have a pizza delivered?
Well, if somebody had a pizza delivered for us, like, you know, at 8 o'clock, they had it delivered with some sodas.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice, I guess. I don't need pizza, but I'd appreciate it either way.
I think it's very nice.
It's a nice thought.
We could say tonight's pizza is delivered to you by blah, blah, blah. Listener blah, blah, blah. Might want to send over a couple pizzas. There's more than one of us.
Are you each going to eat a pizza?
Well, you'd have to go basic with pepper. Listen, that girl eats. Who's here on Friday night? I wouldn't want to get my hand in front of her mouth.
No, I mean, fair enough. I mean, every time she come in here, she's eating something.
Or hungry.
Yeah, or hungry.
Or hungry or eating something.
Interesting spot.
What's an interesting spot?
No,
you lost me there.
She is.
Like she's an interesting spot?
Interesting spot, like, I don't know, she always makes for interesting spots in the show. As in, like, oh, she just doesn't make sense sometimes.
Oh. You should bring that up to her tonight.
Is it that right?
Yeah. Just don't blame it on me this time.
I'll wait for her to not make sense, and then I'll be like, all right, Carrington, this is your one time in the show where things just aren't adding up, okay?
Well, you gotta point. You can't say it like, you gotta say it like, listen, every week you don't make sense.
Every week you just don't make any sense.
Yeah. We've been putting it off telling you this, but honestly, we're trying to figure you out. We can't make heads or tails out of anything you're saying.
It's just chicken scratch.
It's something. But you said it. I did not say it.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
No, because you'll say, well, he told me to say it. You did that once.
I don't think I did.
Oh, yes, you did. I remember it well. That's okay, though. We got past it. I don't think there was any problem with it. I think it was just in the show that night.
No.
I think having a girl here helps. I don't think it's necessary, but it helps.
I mean, I think, probably. I mean, I think, like I said, when I was talking about women in politics, I mean, I think that women tend to have a different view than men. So, like, anytime you get a woman on a, you know, discussion-based anything, it's going to, obviously, more discussion is better.
But, you know, in this particular case, I don't think it's because she's a woman. I think it's just her. I mean, she's got a whole different thing going on there. She's very unique.
Isn't that right?
Yeah. A lot of girls are very timid, and at least the ones who've been on the air don't like to say a whole lot, kind of reserved in a way. She certainly is not.
I mean, I think she was at first, a little bit.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
She likes to pick fights.
I think she likes to try to pick fights.
But she never picks fights with you. Like, you will say awful stuff to her, and she won't pick the fight there.
It's because she'll lose.
No. I think there's a whole other reason for that. But I say the most minor thing, and it's off to the races.
I mean, I don't know.
Strange.
Yeah.
She is. You're right. You can go ahead and say it.
she is.
But we enjoy her.
Yeah, for sure.
She's part of the little dysfunctional family. That's how I refer to it.
Always good to talk to.
Little dysfunctional family. We get together on Friday night. We have a little program. We go over a few things. So what do we learn during this particular program as far as city goes? What happens? Do you leave somebody who's ill? What happens?
I think today we learned that people who leave people because they're ill don't think they're leaving people because they're ill. They always rationalize it as something else to themselves.
But ultimately, they're a moralist person, is what you said.
That's not what I said.
That's what I heard.
I said it seems like there's some kind of a moral conflict there, but,
their moral compass is broken.
You could have a different moral compass than me and still be, you know, have morals.
But how could you ever tell that story to somebody? I was in a relationship. It ended. Why? Well, they got sick. That's not going to work. That's not going to play in any room. There's no person you're going to tell that to where that's going to work.
I mean, I think you're probably right, but I mean, I think that's why they rationalize it. So
that's why it's not the reason.
They have to have some story to tell people.
Yeah, that's their story, and they're sticking to it.
I mean, I think you oughta.
Now, what do you think about this? And we'll do this quickly here at the end, because this is in my mind, too, because this happens, too. What if, it's not your family member, but it's somebody, again, married to, whatever, seeing them, and you go end up in the hospital, and they don't come see you. Now, should you have to tell them to come see you, or?
I mean, personally, I think that, it depends on why I'm in the hospital. I mean, but, like, I don't think I'd necessarily want to force people to come see me in the hospital.
No, you don't force people, but the fact that they just don't feel the need to do it.
I mean, like I said, I guess it just depends on why I'm in the hospital.
Let's say you're there for days.
I mean, I've been in the hospital for days before. All
right. So, do you feel differently toward the people who do come and the people who don't?
No. Because, like, I've known people who are in the hospital for days
before. Do you
think
if you're married and your wife does not come to the hospital to see you and you're there for days, that's okay?
See, but I'm not married to these people, so I don't know.
No, that's what I'm saying. But if you were.
I mean, I don't know. I always feel like, I feel like people got better stuff to be doing. There's always something I could be doing better than, like, sitting in a hospital room.
That relationship's in trouble.
I'm like, as unfortunate as it sounds, like, I could be doing something productive. It's not productive. It's sad.
It is sad. That's the point.
And that's why I'd rather be doing something productive.
What is sad?
Visiting people in the hospital?
I don't know. I think that you probably should. You don't have to stay for a long time.
I mean, I don't know.
What's interesting visiting somebody at their house and visiting them in the hospital?
Well, if somebody's in the hospital, I assume there's a reason.
That's kind of the whole point.
Well, I mean, I've visited them at their house enough times.
So that's more self-indulgent. If you can go have a good time with them at their house, that's okay. But if you're going to the hospital where the time isn't going to be that great, just skip it.
I mean, there's probably something I could be doing better.
Well, I think there's always something you could be doing that's better.
Probably.
I don't know. I think it's different. Don't forget, Pastor Craig coming up next hour with Study His Word. That'll be great. Replay from November 3rd, back in the fall. And the show tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m., Carrington Nelson, Matt, myself, will have a good time with that. And I guess that brings an end to the Exchange Club here today on this very snowy, cold Friday. January the 19th, 2024.
Well, I guess so.
But we shall be back tonight.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss it. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
I'm glad when that person walks into the room where you are, that you have a kind of a fluttering in your heart that person that you really like and appreciate and want to work a relationship with is worth walking into that room. So it's like a little spark.
Our president, you have met. You've met Donald Trump. Just as
not only that, there was a very short...